This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Let me do a quick reset here. We are live at the People's Health Medicare Center, 3017 Vets in Metairie. We've been here since 6 o'clock because today is the first day, October 15th, of the annual enrollment period. If you're new to Medicare, you need to enroll. If you just turned 65 or you turned 65, you need to enroll and you need to find out. You know what? Somebody from People's Health, when the hell do you need to enroll? When you just turned 65, or what is it? What's the? No, but when you turn 65, what's the guideline? If you to you need to enroll or make a decision with Medicare when you turn what?
65.
And for this period would be when you turn 65 when?
It's that you can enroll the month, 3 months before your birthday.
3 months before your birthday or
after your birthday?
Or 3 months after. There you go. All right. So their People's Health Medicare Center is going to be here. You didn't know there'd be a pop quiz, did you? You did great. Give her a nice round of applause, everybody. You did great. But anyway, they're going to be here every day, the People's Health Medicare Center. And it's appointments are recommended, but you don't need one. You can walk in and have people that will help you. Sit down, walk you through all the different parts of Medicare, A, B, C, or D. Talk to you about Medicare Advantage plans like People's Health. But there's no cost, no obligation. They're not going to hard sell you, to hammer you, try to get you to sign up or anything like that. It's about giving you the information that you need to make an informed decision. There are seminar that's coming up at 10 o'clock and another one at 1 o'clock that you can take advantage of. It's absolutely free, and they'll give you a presentation on Medicare. Dave Cohen will be in for Newell next at 10 o'clock, and then Ian will be in for Scoot at 1 o'clock, so WWL will be here until 4. You can go to peopleshealth.com to find out more, and you can always call the 1-800 number, which I'll give you in a second. Ramon Antonio Vargas joins us now, our friend, to talk about the latest with the Archdiocesan bankruptcy case and an expert that was brought into the case. Ramon Antonio Vargas, editor and reporter at The Guardian. Welcome, my friend, and thank you for taking the time.
Thank you for having me.
Ramon, you know, I tell you, I really do appreciate the work you do, and especially as it relates to this, because it just seems as though the victims in this continue to get taken advantage of, and I'll use, you know, the phrase screwed over. I don't know if it's appropriate or not, but it just seems like every time you turn a corner, there's another eyebrow-raising incident that happens. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to you. You're the reporter. Give me some background on this, some context, and then tell me the latest development, if you would, please.
Sure. Obviously, a very complex topic, but as briefly as possible. There was an outside.
Take your time. We got some time on this. I think it's important, and I want you to take your time, Ramon.
Sure. No problem. There was a turnaround expert, right, who was brought in, nationally renowned guy by the name of.
Ramon, for people that don't know what a turnaround expert is, you live and breathe this stuff, but maybe people don't know.
He's basically he just helps basically distressed companies kind of restructure their books, right? And this guy's worked on Vice Media, this guy's worked on Barney's, this guy's worked on Sears restructurings, right? So the judge who's been overseeing the New Orleans Catholic Church bankruptcy brought him in to sort of help essentially assess the viability of the two competing settlement plans in the bankruptcy, right? And they're hundreds of millions of dollars apart between the church, who wants to pay about $125,000 per abuse claim to settle the bankruptcy, and this is clergy abuse claims, and then the victims and the survivors and their attorneys who want, about $2 million per claim, right? So it obviously they're, I think, a realistic number you're talking about, given a case that another bankruptcy, church bankruptcy case that resolved, that was about $300 million total. That's about a realistic figure. Overall, the church wants to pay $62 million. The victims want about $1 billion, mostly coming from insurance. So that's kind of like the lay of the land. So this guy's brought in and is like, hey, like, assess the viability of these plans and give me a report. And that's from Judge Meredith.
But Ramon, let me just jump in for a second here. When you talk about this guy's experience, you said Vice, Sears, and what was the third one?
Vice, Sears, Barney's. Yeah,
Barney's.
He's just kind of like,
These are corporate entities that are in bankruptcy, and the Archdiocese of New Orleans filed for the same protection. So I just got to jump in as a Catholic all my life with what's the right thing to do here. And the Archdiocese, I think it's important to point out, has taken the same approach as would a company, forget right or wrong, but just to protect its assets, the legal part of this. Am I wrong in that or not?
No, I mean, it's very much the church is in a very, very corporate process. That's correct.
Okay.
To say. And so this gentleman by the name of Mo Meji is brought in to sort of see, like, hey, are these plans realistic? Almost within days of that appointment, the Wall Street Journal published a very eyebrow in a report that really raised the eyebrows of, especially kind of like on the clergy abuse survivor side, right? That he was facing. So two reports have come out since September on him, and both of them basically lead to the fact that the FBI is investigating his conduct in a separate case. After some of his conduct in that separate case raised ethics-related questions. That's a very complicated set of circumstances. But essentially, he—and I'll find this section right here—he caught the FBI's attention after he hosted a banquet at one of the priciest restaurants in Manhattan that listed a bankruptcy judge named David Jones as a guest of honor. The Guardian had a bankruptcy attorney basically say that is improper to have a guest as a judge as a guest of honor, a bankruptcy judge as a guest of honor at such a banquet, because it basically signals a potential client, hey, I have a special relationship with a judge. You need something with me? Hook me up. Now, the Meji basically helped steer this case involving a pharmaceutical company, like a biotech company that does business in California. This judge...
That would be Sorrento Pharmaceuticals?
Sorrento Pharmaceuticals,
therapeutics.
Correct. Yes, Sorrento Therapeutics moved, and so Meji basically steers their case, even though they do business in California, brings it to this judge in Houston, right, and kind of puts the case in front of him, right, the same judge that he hosted at this banquet. Eventually, that judge had to resign from being a bankruptcy judge, basically, because it turned out that he was having an affair with an attorney who practiced in front of him, who was also involved in that same bankruptcy case, right? So I know it's getting kind of tangled, and I know it's kind of whatever, you know.
No. I want you to take your time with this, because here's what just drives me crazy, and I'm no Ramon Antonio Vargas, but who appointed this guy? Mosheen Magic.
It was the bankruptcy judge overseeing the New Orleans Church case, which is Meredith Grable appoints him.
So,
and she talked and made a big deal about. And
go ahead.
Basically, makes a big deal about injecting comp. You know that, you know, this is going to bring confidence and competence to this process, and I'm going to bring them in. And almost immediately, like he falls, like these reports come out that fall. That he is basically being looked at for problematic conduct in another case, and it eventually catches the FBI's attention because in this judge's courtroom there's an investigation into whether cases were being handled fairly in that judge's courtroom, given that and this is Judge David Jones, to be clear, given that he was having an affair with somebody whose clients often turned up in front in his courtroom in front of him and ruled generally favorably for his clients.
Meji also wound up with a job, did he not?
Well, right. So then Meji ends up as Sorrento's and then Sorrento's restructuring officer, basically. And that's a lucrative gig, right? You're talking about I think it's $225,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Or,
I think that's what it was.
$225,000 monthly, which is not insignificant. There was a loan.
$225,000 monthly.
Monthly, correct.
Yeah.
And then you've got a multi-million dollar loan that he was able to convince the judge to kind of give him. So as it is, it's like, okay, you see this person's name, and okay, well now he's come in, and this conduct is drawn the highest levels of scrutiny, right? And then not to also keep in mind, we've made a lot. And also David Jones is a number that makes a lot of people in this case uncomfortable, because if you remember, Richard Trahant is a strident critic of the church. He represents a lot of clergy abuse claimants, received a $400,000 fine for basically using information that was a very complicated set of facts, but basically uses his knowledge of records in the bankruptcy to get a abuser priest removed from Brother Martin's high school. I know we've discussed this on the program repeatedly.
Paul Hart?
Paul Hart. And so before Trahant is given that fine by Judge Grable, this is in publicly available transcripts, to be clear. It comes out that the judge Grable had consulted about the matter or had spoken about the matter with Judge David Jones, right? And so
because this is a radio and we don't have flow charts, but tell me again where David Jones factors into this.
David Jones basically spoke with Judge Meredith Grable about the Paul Hart matter, according to a publicly available transcript, and that resulted in and that preceded Judge Grable then giving Trahant a $400,000 fine, right?
And so, Jones is who again in this?
David Jones is the bankruptcy judge who is a bankruptcy judge in Houston who is implicated in the Momeji matter, in the fact that he basically had to resign his judgeship because he was having an affair with an attorney who was practicing in front of him in his courtroom, kicking off this investigation into whether cases were handled, Chapter 11 bankruptcy cases were handled fairly in front of him.
I don't mean to keep interrupting you, Ramon. It's just kind of tangled, and I'm just trying to keep everybody straight on what's going on here. Go ahead, please.
No problem. But I think when you see those two names and kind of like the matters that they're involved in, and they sort of, the tentacles kind of reach into this case, which has already been so contentious, already been so so lengthy and costly, right? Running up a bill about $40 million, and that's $40 million left that are available for clergy abuse claimants to be made whole after being raped or otherwise molested by clergymen working here. It just kind of has made everyone very uncomfortable. You know, everyone's waiting for this report from this turnaround expert who, under no uncertain terms, is under FBI scrutiny. To see, and he's basically going to make a call about if either of the plans is realistic to settle this bankruptcy. And so it just remains to be seen kind of what happens. I can't imagine. I'm curious to see, like I said, when he was brought on, there was a remark made by Judge Grable about how, this is our shot at kind of getting some real some real competence and like some real confidence, you know, introduced into this process. I'm really curious to see whether that stands the test of time, given this investigation that has been publicly reported on.
So again, I'm no Ramon Antonio Vargas. We'll take a break here, but I just don't know how, given the way these victims have been screwed over so many different ways, that Judge Graybill could appoint this guy when, within days of appointing it, the Wall Street Journal, and these are not people within the system, right? These are people that watch the system. Within days of this, the Wall Street Journal said, whoa, hang on a minute, are you kidding me, this guy? And then they do this expose on him, and they do this piece on him. And it just seems like, if anything, Judge Graybill would have gone to extraordinary measures to vet whomever it is that she hired to be the turnover expert to make sure that this person was absolutely clean. Would that not make sense?
Yeah, look, there's two things to make, right? So the Wall Street Journal didn't make the connection to the church bankruptcy case, right? Which was interesting, right? This is a completely different matter. It has nothing to do with the church bankruptcy case, but it's like immediately that name leapt off the page when I saw it, right? And then the other thing to keep in mind is I asked Judge Graybill, I asked Mo Meji, you know, via email, like, did Judge David Jones, who was the link between, you know, that they're one degree removed from each other because we're both familiar with him. I'm like, did David Jones recommend Mo Meji to Judge Graybill? And I can't comment. But that is a question that I don't have an answer to that I would love to get.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
So you can't speak for Judge Graybill, but generally speaking, these, you know, just like in the newspaper business and the radio business or what have you, people are aware of what's going on in their industry, right?
Sure, and I mean, look, if you go out there, it is not that difficult to find a picture of Meredith Graybill and David Jones together, right?
Wait, say that again. You broke up a little bit. You broke up at the worst possible time.
No, it is not difficult to find a picture of David Jones and Meredith Graybill, you know, photographed together at an event in New Orleans, like a legal event in New Orleans, right? So the fact that they know each other and have spoken to each other, like, that's that's known. Obviously, you know, Meji has had contact with Judge Grable here, and Meji has had contact with Judge Jones in the Sorrento matter, and at that banquet that he hosted before he got kind of, you know, in the Sorrento matter. So, the fact that like those three, it's not difficult to kind of make those connections. I have not gotten an answer to the question that I would like to know is like, because Meji kind of came out of nowhere, right? When we're talking about, and it's interesting because he was chosen over a New Orleans based turnaround expert by the name of Vincent Liuza, who, you know, basically showed up and made a case for himself. And because he was a, his godson, I think, is a Catholic priest in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. It's like, look, I'm not choosing you because I need an outsider. But then when you look into it, it's like, how much of an outsider is he really, given that, and I get it, right? Like, Mo Meji is, if you do research into him, he has given a very lucrative gift to the university, a university in Florida, to establish some Shia studies, right? Some Shia Muslim studies. So obviously he is not Catholic. That's the message I get from that, is that he is not Catholic. Vincent Liuza, your godson is a Catholic priest. I need someone from the outside. But then you question, how much of an outsider is someone like that when, I mean, he's one degree removed from a disgraced former bankruptcy judge who has had contact with the, you know, with the judge who drew the church bankruptcy case here. And so they are, he is a link between, like, he has links to both of them, is what I'm trying to say.
Let me ask a question real quick before we go to the break. If I'm doing Venn diagrams here and I got three circles, I'm going to get Judge Grable, I'm going to get Mo Meji, and I'm going to get Judge Jones all in the same circle in the same intersection, right?
Sure. I mean, their circles would overlap if you did that. Sure.
That's what I'm saying. All right, good. We'll pick it up. We come back and talk about what this means to the victims who continue to get screwed over in this archdiocesan bankruptcy deal. And again, going back to what we began by talking about with Ramon, you know, this guy represented Vice and Sears and Barney's, which is a retail outlet in New York. Big corporate entities, but when you're talking about the archdiocese, you would think at some point factoring into this would be do what's right, not just what's legal or what best protects the assets. 9:27, more when we come back. Tommy Tucker, WWL. On a lighter note, we're live at the People's Health Medicare Center, 3017 Vets. That's near Party City. You can come in. People are standing by waiting to help you in this first day of the annual enrollment period for Medicare. Runs until December 7th. You can go to peopleshealth.com to find out more. Seminar starts in about 33 minutes at 10 o'clock, then another one at 1, absolutely free. Be like a group presentation to help you understand Medicare and what you need to do and what's best for you, especially if this is your first year, because it can be daunting and confusion, which used to be my old legal firm. We'll take a break, come back, WWL. Quickly back to Ramon Antonio Vargas as we continue to broadcast live from the People's Health Medical Medicare Center. Annual enrollment period opens up today. We're at 3017 Vets, Party City in Metairie. WWL will be here all day. Ramon, I know we took a little bit of time explaining all of the, I don't know, conflicts. I don't know what word you want to use with this. Eyebrow-raising actions to bring in this Mosheen Mo Meji, the bankruptcy turnaround guy. Let's talk about the victims. What does this mean to the victims? And did I see something in your story? The victims are afraid of offending Judge Grable at this point?
Well, I mean, I think that it's accurate. I mean, I ran when I was able to see kind of what the situation was with Meji. I mean, I went to a lot of victims, attorneys, et cetera. And I mean, I think obviously the Trahan $400,000 sanction that we, you know, refer to quite often has, you know, had the effect of like, well, I don't want to get hit with something like that myself. So I don't want to like speak out and anger anyone in this process. Sometimes.
Fine for repeating what was in a public document, right? I just want to make that point.
So it was a public document, and again, like it's complicated but layered. But essentially, it's like you tell what he did was tell someone like, "Hey, look, I can't tell you how I know this, but I know that there is a abuser on your campus." Essentially, and then that gets people to ask questions, and then it results in this person being exposed, and then there was, you know, an argument made by Trahan's opponents that that violated the secrecy of the bankruptcy, and therefore that resulted in $400,000 fine against him, which has loomed over like an axe over everyone in this case, because everyone's terrified the same thing would happen to them if they step out of line, et cetera, et cetera.
But and quickly, so, the point in revealing that was to protect the students, was it not?
Sure, to remove an abuser who had been shielded from, you know, from okay. students at a high school. Correct. Yes.
Okay.
And so, yes, I mean, I think that so there are people who were like, I'll tell you kind of what I think about this, but I don't want you to quote me because I don't want to, you know, anger anyone that might find me, you know, that amount. And ultimately, I think that the takeaway was, it's like, well, look, it's obviously concerning that this is kind of the expert that was brought in, especially when there was an alternative, right, a New Orleans-based alternative. And then I think also the, you know, the obviously the victims are searching for, obviously, I don't think any either side has made, like, their real ask, right? I don't think that the church's position to settle the bankruptcy has been like, look, we'll put up 62, you know, 0.5 million, some from the archdiocese office, some from our, you know, hundreds of affiliates out there, and then, you know, you get whatever you can from insurance, right? And then I think the other side is like, look, we want $1 billion. It's not too different from kind of what you're offering, a few hundred, you know, a few million more, and then the rest, like, we want, like, your insurers to kind of put up. I think that, like, probably what seems realistic, if you look at the Rockville Center Diocese settlement, it's about $321 million was about it. And obviously it was a combination of the archdiocese and insurers. I think that's a realistic target. A similar number of abuse claims, even though the diocese is much larger, but just because it's much larger in terms of, like, people, I think that they're probably pretty comparable as, you know, all told, it's a pretty good analog for everything. And so the question becomes, it's like, okay, well, this person's going to have, like, the word on which of those two plans is more viable, is either viable or neither viable, and they need to keep working. You know, like, this person's going to, you know, give a piece of, is going to advise the judge on, like, how do you proceed toward finishing this? And I think that, like, when you are under FBI, I mean, like, think about it. The best way that it was put to me is that, like, you've got this consultant under FBI scrutiny, and then obviously the archdiocese, it's well known, is under investigation by Louisiana State Police over whether or not it operated as a child sexual abuse trafficking ring. And obviously it hasn't, no charges for high level superiors have been announced or yet, if they even come, but we do know that some, you know, we do know that there have been abusive clergymen who have already been, you know, indicted, and including in one case in St. Tammany Parish has been convicted. And so, you know, you've got, like, one person under FBI scrutiny kind of, like, involved in another case involving another person who's under law, another entity that's under law enforcement investigation and in bankruptcy. And I think it's just people are like, how, it's just very, like, fretful about what, whether their plan is going to be, like, thrown out of hand, and, you know, a plan that obviously is not to their favor is going to be kind of endorsed by this expert, or whether they're going to get a fair shake. I guess we'll have to see.
Ramon, thank you. This is very complicated stuff. You do a great job of explaining it. I know it takes a long time, and I didn't mean to interrupt you. I'm sorry about that, but you could do an eight-hour miniseries on this. You really could, and have to go back and do recaps and everything else. Thank you, sir. We'll talk to you again soon, all right?
Thank you for the time. Take care.
Appreciate it. All right, and you know, you got to look at what's the right thing to do here. And how would you feel if a Fortune 500 company was behaving this way? It's 9:40. We'll talk to Jeff Nowak about the Saints. We come back. Time now, traffic, WWL. Hi, quickly to Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter. Jeff, I saw this tweet of yours, and it says, if you don't feel like doing the math, 32% of the Saints roster is currently listed on the Saints injury report. Every position group is represented. You know, and I don't know if you and I have spoken about this before, but you can get a steak at Golden Corral. You can get a steak at Ruth's Chris, right? Both are steaks. You can talk about injuries in the NFL, and you can talk about injuries with the Saints. Both are injuries, but they're not the same thing. And I'm not trying to be an apologist for the Saints or anything, but I think you'd have to be a damn fool not to realize how hard the Saints have been hit by injuries. Thoughts?
Yeah, the problem is it's the same story every year, right? Like last year, this time,
well,
we're talking about, well, Derek Carr dealing with an injury while the offensive line is hurt, while this, while that. And, you know, it gets old, and you gotta, it's tough to continue to look at that and say, well, this can't be disconnected from reality. This can't just be coincidental. There's got to be something that you can do to try to mitigate some of this. But no, I mean, it's
so how would you do that? Training off season training? How would you do that? How would you?
It's something that I know the team is looking at. You know, they're looking at getting more outdoor practices in, maybe get off the turf a little bit. But it's got to be something that they look at, because you know, I don't know if there's anything you can make changes for in season. Right? I don't think it's anything you can fix in season. But it's, you know, a couple of years ago they brought in Matt Ray to kind of revamp that system, that whole part of the equation. And I think soft tissue injuries were down over the last couple of years. I don't think they've been down this year. So, but no, I mean, like you said, it's difficult to win that way when you're missing your entire interior offensive line. You don't have your starting quarterback. Your running back is banged up. You might be going into this game without either starting wide receiver. Chris Olave he's in concussion protocol. It's really tough to see him clearing that in 3 days. Rashid Shaheed is dealing with a knee injury now that they're kind of trying to figure out. And
We're a little bit pressed for time, Jeff. Let me work it the other way. Let me tell you who is not on the injury report list from the offense. Taliese Fuaga, Trevor Penning, Foster Moreau, Kamara, who is playing hurt, and Adam Prentice. That's who you got left.
Yeah. From the first string offense.
So that's serious. From the first string offense, yeah. And I know it's like, you know, the old next man thing up bit, but there are only so many people that can play NFL football at a high level caliber. Tell me about the defense and being banged up.
Yeah, well, the defense, they have a whole lot of problems. I mean, realistically speaking, the health is not the bigger issue on the defense. They had some injuries that game, but, you know, other than Pete Werner missing the last couple games, you know, you got Willie Gay back. They just haven't been able to tackle, and I don't think that's a health thing. I think that is a technique thing. That is a you know, there's a lot of things that go into that, ankles, pursuit angles, you know, stuff like that. But at the end of the day, you gotta have some pride. You gotta go out there and make a tackle. You can't allow someone to run 55 yards with three guys, have them lined up, and no one touches them. Like, that can't happen. So that's going to be something they have to fix. That's something they can fix. Like, that's the thing. There's some things you can't fix. You can't prevent people from getting hurt. You can't do any of that. But you can go make a tackle. You can fix that. And that's, if they can do that, then they have a chance to win these games. If they don't, it's going to be a whole lot more like wrestling.
Are you saying it goes to attitude? Because otherwise, and I saw Juwan Johnson last night. Juwan Johnson? Who's the tight end?
Juwan, yeah.
Juwan Johnson last night. I don't know why I say Juwana, but Juwan Johnson. Talking about, you know, he can't remember what people said with the rah-rah speeches. It's something within you that has to be there. And I was talking to Mike Dettelier about this yesterday. You know, if you or I do a bad show, Diane Newman, our boss, will let us know about it because she knows what we're supposed to do, what we're not supposed to be doing. And it's the same thing in the NFL. That tape is there, and everybody's going to know what you did or didn't do. I just don't understand how the missed tackles have increased week to week to week. Tell me your thoughts. No, you're down there in the field.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a pride thing. I think it's go do your job, right? You know, and I don't know. Like, the first half, I thought the defense played reasonably well in that game. The second half, it kind of seemed like they let go of the rope a little bit. And, you know, when you're not scoring on offense, when you're kind of the ball run down your throat, that'll happen. But no, I think there's got to be some soul searching in that room this week. I hope there's been some uncomfortable conversations with some folks. Because, you know, you got to make the tackles in front of you. You got to take advantage of the situations you're presented with. Like, you can control the things you can control. One of the things you can control is tackling that guy immediately in front of you. And if the Saints can start doing that, then we can start worrying about some of the other things. But if they can't tackle the running backs, they can't tackle a guy I've never heard of before named Sean Tucker, who had 30 career rushing yards going into that game and now has 166 career rushing yards, you're not going to win games. So it really is that simple.
So Dennis Allen said the tackling was atrocious. I'm just quoting him here. He said, okay, you look at his record as a defensive coordinator, he can get it fixed. It's a short week. I mean, they just played on Sunday. Today's Tuesday. Tomorrow, night after tomorrow, they're playing another game. How do you fix that in that limited amount of time where everybody's beat up? Most of the time is going to be spent in a training room and watching film. I don't know how you fix that. Tell me.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like you're going to get out there and do a bunch of hard-hitting tackling drills. I mean, I think it's mental adjustments. It's understanding your keys and your technique and not getting away from it in those moments and going to make it a play. So I think that's really what it is. And, you know, honestly, I don't think there is a lot of physical adjustments you need to make. I think a lot of it is mental. And, you know, hopefully these guys are, you know, they're ticked off. They want to come out and prove that that wasn't a good picture of what they can be. And we'll see if they can do that.
I'm going to say one thing real quick. I did not see evidence that anybody quit on Dennis Allen. I did see some sloppiness. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it was I don't think that's what you're looking at now in terms of quitting on a team. I think it's just you let go of the rope a little bit. The game got away from you, and you know, you didn't execute when you needed to. I think that's something they got to fix.
Thank you, Jeff. Hope we talk to you again soon. Our time's limited. Jeff Nowak, sideline reporter, pleasure as always. We'll take a break. Dave Cohen's in next for Newell. We'll talk to him. The People's Health Center, 3017 Vets in Metairie here on WWL.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.